Let us pray to begin. Lord, we thank you for the year that has gone by, and also for the year that is arriving. Lord, we thank you that you are with us always. Speak to us now. Reveal something of truth and value through your word, and speak to our hearts. In Jesus' precious name. Allow me to read from John chapter 14. Feel free to turn to John 14 if you have a Bible. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. We gather once again to that very special final Passover meal Jesus had with his disciples. And as we open the pages of the Gospel of John, we enter a very small, very special window. Here a conversation is underway. It's between Jesus and those he's closest to. His disciples, his friends. Last time we checked in, the disciples are worried. Jesus has been saying things which they don't quite understand. Throughout this conversation, he's spoken about being betrayed, how he has very little time remaining with them, and that soon he'll be going to a place that they can't follow, at least for now. And at the start of this chapter, Jesus now takes the chance to comfort his disciples. Jesus tells them this, believe in God, believe in me. He's going ahead first, yes. And it's to a place they can't go for now, but he won't be leaving them behind. He's preparing a path, a way forward, which soon they'll be able to follow. Thomas asks first, Lord, where are you going? How can we follow? And Jesus responds with those famous words, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He then adds, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Now, this gets Philip curious. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Philip doesn't quite understand what Jesus is saying. He doesn't quite understand what he is seeing. He thinks perhaps Jesus is being cryptic once again. Yet Jesus is doing anything but. His message is very clear. He responds like this: "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." Jesus makes it clear. No smoke or mirrors. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. When Jesus previously said, "If you know me, you have also known my Father," he meant every word. And he continues to make his case even stronger. "How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me." There is no doubt or uncertainty in these words. It's not just that we know or we see. Jesus is. This is Jesus' response to Philip. "How long have you been with me, Philip? If you know me, you know the Father. If you see me, you see the Father. There is no showing needed. I am with you, and I am one with the Father. If you have seen me, you have seen God. God is with his people." But Jesus' response isn't only for Philip. We're here gathered in this room, and the disciples, they're listening in as well. They're confused, uncertain. They need comforting too. And Jesus uses these words also to comfort and strengthen them. He makes it very clear that even though they don't know where he's going and don't quite know what his plan is, they can trust in him. They can believe in him. Because his authority is the Father's authority. And when they trust in him, they do not need to be afraid. When they trust in him, they believe in the Father also. The Father's power and strength and majesty is also the Son's. So too is his faithfulness and love. This is the peace that Jesus, in these words, offers to his disciples. A just and righteous God has drawn near to us. God has chosen to be with his people. God is with us. Yet, these words are not only for the disciples either. It's to the whole world. To any who read or hear this message. To the cynics, to the scoffers, to the Pharisees of the day, or the skeptics and the doubters today. They shout and they laugh. They say, "Who does Jesus say he is? Who does he think he is? Who does he claim to be? Show us. Prove it." To the passerbys, to the wanderers, to the anxious, to the uncertain, to the curious, they ask the same thing. Who does he think he is? Who does Jesus claim to be? To those who don't care, who don't want to listen, to the apathetic, to the tired, to the regular churchgoer, or to the irregular one, to the one from a Christian background, the one who's never met a Christian in their life. Maybe you're all sitting there now, tired, bored, excited, curious, barely listening or listening to every word. Jesus opens his arms, opens his life, and says, come, take a look. If you want to see God, have a look at me. If you want to know God, come and learn about me. If you want to find God, come and find me. If you want to challenge God, well, come and talk to me. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. To the Christian, too, to the believer, this message also rings out, perhaps in a different way. To the Christian, Jesus has this message. Believe. Believe in me. You can trust in me. Where you are weak, I am strong. Where you have no authority, in Jesus is all the authority of the Father, the radiance and the glory of God. Where people doubt and laugh at you, point them to me. Turn and face Jesus. In Jesus, we will not be ashamed. This is the comfort and the strength that God is with us. Who can stand against us? And then Jesus continues with these words. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Wait, did you hear that? Hold on a second. Let's read that again. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Something seems strange here, doesn't it? Sometimes you read something and it seems, well, doesn't seem quite right, or at least we don't immediately understand it. I think intuitively, something actually doesn't quite make sense. And maybe we can figure out what. Truly, truly, I say to you, so Jesus means every word he's going to say. Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do. You know, I had a reaction the first time, perhaps many years ago, when I first read this passage. It felt strange to me, and I think I know why. And I think I know why you might react in a similar way. If you've grown up in Sunday school, or from a Christian background, or attend a Sunday service, or have literally learnt anything about Christianity, one of the things we learn about Jesus is that he's different from us. He's the same in that he lives a fully human life. But he's different because the life he lives is different. The things he said were different. The way he spoke, his authority, the miracles he performed, his words and his teachings. In Jesus, he's both fully man and fully God. And because Jesus is different in that way, it feels strange to hear Jesus say, not just that we, believers, will do the works that he does, but even greater works. It seems to break the logic, the Christian logic that many of us may have grown up with or have picked up along the way. Is the Bible contradicting itself? Is Jesus contradicting himself? Or is there something else here? Some underlying truth that perhaps we need to uncover? What to do? I mean, it's a challenging passage. But when we run into challenging problems, We always have a choice. It's to dig deeper, or it's to bury it away, cover it up. You know, this probably won't be the only challenging problem you run into. Whether it's challenging problems in the Bible, or challenging problems with your personal faith, or challenging problems in general, from life, from the things you encounter. Every single time we have a choice, don't we? To face it, or to bury it away. Yet, for the Christian, I turn to that first passage again. This is the question. But this is part of the answer. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. When I see Jesus, when I see this life, when this is the one who calls me, I think I can make the choice to believe. I think I can make the choice to trust that whatever words he speaks, they're here to comfort and to strengthen. So let us dig deeper, because we trust that Jesus is there with us. And he's provided these words for us to strengthen us and to comfort us. And we can understand or hear him, not because we are strong, but because he is with us. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. We start with some simple observations. Just who is doing these works? Well, it's not just Philip anymore, is it? Jesus makes it clear. Whoever believes in me, it's not just Philip. It's not just the disciples. It is everyone who believes in Jesus. I mean, that doesn't quite help us fully understand the passage, but it is quite the statement that Jesus is making. We know from this that whatever these works that Jesus are referring to, anyone who believes in Jesus can and will do them. Now let's break this passage down into some big questions. Believe in Jesus, what does that mean? What is Jesus referring to specifically when he says believe in him? And what are these works he refers to? And finally, that final cryptic phrase, going to the Father, that's what the disciples don't seem to understand. What is he saying when he says he's going to the Father soon? Now, one thing, whenever we encounter anything challenging from the Bible, like a challenging verse, is that it's a great blessing that the Bible is made up of more than just one verse. So, what is often helpful is to look at the verses around. We go directly to the verse right before and see if we can learn anything from this. Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe an account of the works themselves. Here we find at least some initial answers to our previous questions. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? Well, it's all the stuff in the passage that's happened so far. What Jesus has been telling us already, that when we see him, we see the Father. When we know him, we know the Father. For all who believe that the Son and the Father are one. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The only way through to the Father is through him. In Jesus, God is with us. This is what it means to believe in him. So why should we believe this? Well, there's actually, interestingly enough, two options that Jesus gives. The or sort of gives it away in the middle of the sentence. Two options. And the first is actually the simplest. It's that question that Jesus asked Philip earlier. Option number one. Have I been with you so long and you still do not know me? Remember when Jesus asked that question to Philip? It's not from a position of a stranger. It's from the position of a friend. You will know a tree by its fruit. And the fruit of Jesus' life is the most astonishing, perfect life ever lived. Believe me. Do you choose to believe what he says? Yet, if not this, there's the second option. Or else, believe on account of the works themselves. If you cannot take my word, then take a look at everything I've done. Every word he ever said, everything he ever did, it's all on display. And its purpose is made clear here. What were these works for except to show that in Jesus is fully God and fully man, God with us. He is one with the Father. Believe in him. Here too, we also find some insight into the second question. That question about what these works really are. And we see it because here we uncover what the goal of the work that Jesus is doing is. If you ask a builder, what are you doing? Perhaps he will tell you he's cutting the wood or he's laying the foundations. But if you ask the builder what his goal is, well, it's to finish the thing he's building. It's to build the house. In some sense, the works he does now are building up, preparing for a greater completed work. And here, in the case of Jesus, what we discover is that his works, the things he did, the miracles he performed, will have one purpose, one greater work he is completing. It's that many would believe in him. Believe who he is. Believe what he has come to do. You know, my supervisor at uni always uses this phrase, don't miss the forest for the trees. Essentially, what it's saying is if you focus on one very specific thing, you might miss the chance to step back and see what you're really looking at. If we focus on the incredible things that Jesus did only, all those miracles. If we focus on every individual tree, we might ask the question, can a believer really do this? Can someone replicate all the things that Jesus did? But if we step back and look at the forest and look at Jesus' greater goal and purpose, well, it's a lot simpler. It's for all to believe in him. All his works, all the things he did, were for this. This was Jesus' goal, his purpose, his focus from the works that he did on earth. And perhaps this is the work that every believer is called to do. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or else believe on the account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. An answer now emerges for that second question. If the work of Jesus was simply to perform miracles, do things that no one had ever done before, then I don't know if every believer could say, they are doing the works that Jesus did. But if the purpose of Jesus' work, his ministry, was for many to believe, well, it doesn't matter how many miracles you might perform or how many wondrous things you might say or what you're able to do. The purpose of Jesus' work was for people to believe in him. And this is the work that we are called to as well. This is what the believer, those who believe in Jesus, are called to and will do. The life of the believer becomes a beacon, a light in the world for people to believe in Jesus. And so now we arrive at the final part of this verse. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. For the disciples, this continued to be confusing, uncomfortable. Where are you going, Lord? Yet for us, perhaps the answer is more simple. We have the chance to look back. Where is Jesus going? Well, he's going to the cross. This is what Jesus came to do. The ultimate work. The ultimate light to the world. In order for many to believe, Jesus gives his life for the many, for the sinners. He goes forward to bring many sons to glory. Now, the works referred to in this passage are most certainly not this work. This is the greatest work. The only work. The work that only Jesus could do. And there is no greater work than this. What we've learned so far is that throughout his life, his work had one key purpose, to reveal who he was so that people would believe in him, that God is with us. He opens his arms and he says, come, take a look. Take a look. Come find out and see that God has bridged the gap. He's come to be with us. And then he opens his arms again and he goes to the cross. And he says, this is what I have come to do. Jesus came to be a light of the world, a life shown to the world, so that they could see and believe that God has chosen to come and to be with us. And at the cross, Jesus, fully man and fully God, chose to die for us, even as we were still sinners. So that the whole world would see and believe and know both how terrible our sin is, but how glorious and how wonderful our Savior Jesus is. All this so that when he rises, the whole world could see and believe that sinners, saved by grace, could rise with him to a new life and to a new purpose. This is the answer to the third question. This is where Jesus was going. And things look a bit different from the other side of the cross. You see, while Jesus was with us, he pointed to his life, the life he had lived, and he said, believe. After all, the goal, the purpose of his life was for many to point and to see him. Yet, for him to complete his final and greatest work, he had to go to the cross. And in his death, we see the most astonishing work. The greatest sacrifice. And yet for the Christian, this is also our greatest weapon to the world, to all who would doubt, to all who would ask. This is what we say. The Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. How can we do greater works than Jesus? Well, this is one of the first reasons that things are different on the other side of the cross, and why just maybe when Jesus says we might do even greater works than he did, we can believe him. Because while during Jesus' life, he told everyone to look at his life and believe, we have the privilege of telling everyone to look at the cross and to look at Jesus' greatest work, both his life and his death and his resurrection. We preach Christ crucified. While Jesus looked ahead at the work he was going to do, we can look back and be witness to the full work he has completed. We see more clearly the glorious reality of just what it is we believe. And the second reason we can perhaps trust these words, well, Jesus hasn't left us alone. Remember, Jesus has been comforting and strengthening his disciples during this conversation, for a time where he'll be gone back to the Father. You might remember these words. God is with us. I've been saying it a lot during this talk, and I've said it a lot last time I was here as well. But there's an even better line, believe it or not, that we can say because of what Jesus has done. It is that God is with us forever. Because soon, a few verses later, Jesus offers his disciples this promise. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot see, because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you, will be in you. The Spirit of truth, the very Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, remains to be with us forever. Jesus walked the earth alongside us for a moment, but what he came to do was to build the house in which God would be with us forever. As it says in 1 Corinthians 6, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. So why are things different now? Because every believer can proclaim those words, God is with me forever. Every believer is made a temple of the Holy Spirit. Every believer has the life of Christ with them, wherever they go, wherever they turn. And with this life, the life of Jesus indwelling, we can do the works he did, and even greater works. And perhaps there's a final key reason we can do greater works than Jesus, which is actually a simple one. Well, it's the fact that Jesus has gone to be with his Father and is no longer on the earth, at least physically. While he was here, he walked the earth, and during the short time he was here, many were saved. Many came to believe. Yet, since he's no longer here, we compare the brief time he had walking the earth, the few places he went, the few people he met, and we realize how much more time we have. For everyone who believes, we had the chance to bring the life of Jesus more time, more places, more people. Simply put, we could do even greater works simply because how much more time and how much more space has been given to us. Think of all the time that all those who believe in Jesus added up have over the time he spent on the earth. We have the privilege and the responsibility, the chance as a believer, to take this life, the life of Jesus, which is with us always, forever, to times and places and people, which Jesus just didn't have the time to do when he was here on earth. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Perhaps this verse is a little bit clearer now, but I go back to those first words at the start of the chapter. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Well, that's where it all starts. These verses are God's gift to comfort and to strengthen us. And perhaps that's what's more important. Even than understanding every detail of every verse. Whether it's in scripture or in life, what we are called to is to trust and to believe. The truth can be challenging sometimes, or surprising. But Jesus is here, the great teacher is here, to comfort and to strengthen. And there's no need to doubt, and there's no need to fear. Sometimes the most important thing we can do is to trust and to believe. And he'll teach us. For me, a very important lesson also emerges when I now reconsider this verse. We studied this verse up and down, but one more word to focus on. I'm going to focus on the word will. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Not can, not might, will. Truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus makes a promise. Whoever believes in me will do the works that I do. And greater than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Perhaps in this we find both a great comfort and a great duty. What is the duty? The sign of a believer is that they will do the works which Jesus has done, and even greater. We are called to take part and live the life we have been given. Christian life is not passive or unchanged. God is with us forever. And it demands a different kind of life. This isn't a life which might do the works of Jesus. It will do the works of Jesus. A tree is known by its fruit. And so the life of a believer is known by the works it does. And remember, just what are these works? It's that the life you live, the things you say, the things you do point to, lead people to realize, to know just who Jesus is and what he has come to do. It isn't about how great you are or what great things you do. It's that the life that has been given to you, you are witness to it. You proclaim it. It shines and it shows that Christ is your Savior and your Lord, and that you believe in him, and that you trust in him, and that others should as well. But alongside this duty is also a great comfort. Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. No matter how big or how small you think you are. No matter how much you think, how large you think your faith is, or how small you think it is, the choices you make, the things you do, if you believe in Him, trust in the work that Jesus does, you have a chance to do the same work as Jesus. And not just a chance, you will do the same work as Jesus. This is not a might or a maybe. This is a guarantee for every believer. Whoever believes will. This is the great comfort. That no matter how weak you think your faith is, no matter how many things you don't think you can do, no matter how many times you make the wrong choices, we can trust and we can know that we take part. We are called to do the same work as our Lord, as Jesus. Because when we are weak, He is strong. And He is with us, always. His life in us means our life is transformed. And when we trust, He is willing. And when He works, He will do His work through us. As it says in 2 Corinthians 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. This treasure, this life that has been given to us. We are vessels carrying with us a priceless treasure that God is with us always. And we take part in the same work which He is doing because of that. So what does this demand of the Christian? It's to have the same mind and the same heart as Jesus. To seek the same thing as He did when He walked the earth. To lead many to know and to believe in Jesus. Who He is, what He has done. And why is this strength and comfort to the Christian? Because every believer, no matter how weak or how strong you think you are, takes part in this work. It's not your life which you are living anymore. It's Christ's life in you. We will do the work of Christ, which He was doing on earth, not by our strength, but His. That is His promise. Close out the time. Two more verses. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in Me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in My name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask Me anything in My name, I will do it. If verse 12 was potentially confusing, perhaps these last two verses are confusing in a different way. Yet I think everything we've discussed so far may shed some light on what Jesus is offering here. Once again, these final two verses are addressed to all believers. These same believers who will do the works of Christ and will do even greater works. These same believers who are called to live a life which is witness to Jesus, witness to the Lord and Savior that they follow. When Jesus walked the earth, nothing was restricted from Him when it came to His goal and His purpose. Whatever He asked of His Father gave. With the time He had, the Son glorified the Father and brought many to hear and to know His Father. Jesus was a perfect witness, the exact imprint of God on earth. And for this, whenever He asked, He was given. And now,
the believer shares that same life. We are given the same privilege and the same purpose. Whatever you ask, in my name. For some, they might focus on the words, "This I will do." Isn't this an incredible offer that whatever we ask, Jesus will do? Yet perhaps what the believer will turn to is those words. In my name, we are called to bear the name of Jesus. And when you think of that life, the life of Jesus, what do you see? Perfect humility. The choice not to hold on to the things which were rightly his, but to let go for the sake of the sinners he came to save. This is what it means to ask in the name of Jesus, in his name. It is to share the same heart and the same purpose and the same mission and that same humility that gave his life to sinners like us. To bear the name of Jesus is the greatest responsibility. To believe in him is to raise his flag, to be called into that same purpose and goal as Jesus. To believe him and to do the works that he does is to point to his life with your life. Yet, alongside that responsibility, that duty, it is also our greatest comfort and our greatest strength. When you bear his name, he is with you always. Whatever you ask in his name, he will do. You take part in the same mission. You do the same work. This is the life he has given you. He opens his arms. He opens his life. And he gives it to us. Shares it with us. This is our greatest comfort. That all who believe will do the works that Jesus did. Let's pray to close. Lord, we thank you for this blessing, this chance to look into your scripture, your word, these final conversations you had with your disciples, and these words that have also been given to us, this promise for every believer, this comfort, this strength, knowing that we have been called to do the same works that you did, to bring and to point and to show many just who you are and just what a wonderful work that you have done. Let us remember your sacrifice. Let us proclaim your name. In Jesus' precious name, Amen.